The world leader in Internet talk radio. You're listening to VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you have dreams of leaving behind a legacy? Do you want to turn your ideas into reality? Tune in to Voice America every Thursday at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Conscious Living with Simone Myers. The focus of Conscious Living is CURE, the Center for Unified Research and Education. CURE starts with you, the individual, with others to bring about positive changes to our world. You'll learn about community life, such as art combined with energy, alternative construction, bartering systems, traditional and holistic medicine, free energy, and much more. Conscious Living takes the saying, think globally, act locally, and applies this to action you can take. So join us Thursdays at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time for Conscious Living on VoiceAmerica.com.
Creating a promise for tomorrow through Conscious Living. Here's your host, Simone Myers.
Welcome to Conscious Living with Simone Myers. Conscious Living focuses around caring individuals like yourself and how you can become more involved in your community. Now, showing you how to leave behind a legacy, here's the host of Conscious Living, Simone Myers.
Welcome to the Conscious Living Show. I'm your host, Simone Myers, and I just got back of a two-week trip in Europe, and so I hope you enjoyed our two previously recorded shows the last couple weeks. I also like to start out by explaining that I'm the director of the Center for Unified Research and Education, otherwise known as CURE. CURE is a 501c3 nonprofit organization started to act as an umbrella to help our own research, but others of like mind as well, that really is keeping with the mission of being beneficial to humanity and non-invasive to the environment. So each week we like to focus the show on either a particular kind of research project that we're doing or someone else is doing. And in the case of today's show, it's one of the most pressing needs, I believe, that affects all of us, and that is the immediate development and implementation of new and free energy. And that brings me to my guest today, which I'm very honored to have. Dr. Stephen Greer is an emergency room physician and former chairman of the Department of Emergency Medicine at Caldwell Memorial Hospital in North Carolina. He's a lifetime member of Alpha Omega Alpha, which is the nation's most prestigious medical honor society. And most notable, on May 9, 2001, Dr. Greer presided over the Disclosure Project press conference, which was from the National Press Club in D.C., which had the largest webcast audience in history. He's also author of several books, to include his latest, Disclosure, Military and Government Witnesses Reveal the Greatest Secrets in Modern History. He's also been seen on numerous television shows worldwide, to include The Larry King Show, CBS, BBC, NTV, and many others. And last but not least, he's currently the CEO of SEAS, which stands for Space Energy Access Systems, a company that's bringing us this wonderful new energy. So given all of that information, welcome to the show, Dr. Greer.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, it's an honor to have you here, and I've been a longtime supporter of your work. I'd like you to maybe begin by, and I know you have a ton of information to share, but really the seriousness of our current situation and why we need to implement this new energy.
Well, of course, I mean, what people are seeing now with oil prices and shortages is only the beginning. We are really at peak oil, and even if you did not run out of oil, the environmental consequences are becoming obvious to everyone but the most corrupted pseudo-scientists who are on the payroll of the oil companies. Essentially, you have a situation where you have a diminishing return to our civilization by staying on this noxious, polluting stuff. And what we have discovered, because we have a network of over 450 top-secret military and intelligence, as well as corporate witnesses, to illegally run covert programs, is that the solution to replacing oil has been in existence and actively suppressed for about 50 years. So the good news is that we don't need the stuff and we can get off of it. The bad news is that it's an enormously powerful vested interest that wants to keep us on it until the very, very end. And the consequences are only going to get worse. If you can imagine, if there's one more major natural disaster in L.A. or a terrorist bombing of a Saudi Arabian oil field, it would bring the entire Western civilization and industrial complex to its knees. So we're extremely vulnerable from a national security and economic point of view, and we are rapidly destroying the biosphere through global warming and the melting of the ice caps and glaciers around the world. And it's obviously time to phase out of these materials. Now, what I'm saying to people is that we really should have phased out of oil and coal and fossil fuels in the 50s when these solutions were discovered and actively then kept secret. So what our group is doing is saying, look, this is not a futuristic concept. This is something where we're playing catch-up because of 50 years of corruption.
Exactly. And, you know, what I like about the fact that you've started this corporation is because many people ask me, you may have read my biography, my previous career in aerospace, I was on above top-secret programs, and my father in the military was held cosmic clearances. And so I think one of the things that people ask me all the time, and I know they've asked you this, is how can these things be kept secret? And the answer is compartmentalization. And most people just don't understand because they haven't been involved in the kind of programs that those few of us that have been briefed at those levels. And what it means is that you can be sitting there doing your work and think that you're attributing to a particular end product when, in fact, it's going into some kind of overall weapon system or some other, you know, really horrible system that we have no idea. And even if you are briefed at the level of understanding the end product, you're faced with, of course, the non-disclosure agreements that we have to sign, say life imprisonment, the death penalty, to say nothing of the ridicule if we were to come forward with some of this information, or just the overall harassment. So that is how it's been kept so, you know, contained.
Yeah, well, it's actually more sophisticated than that because the really important projects are all corporate, and the corporate contracting world is such that they make so much money off the projects that they do that people might know about on the Senate Intelligence Committee, for example, that in their back room they can fund other activities. And so you have this enormously complex, compartmented, secret operation that has gotten out of control. And this is exactly what Eisenhower warned us about, of course, back in his last speech to the world, to the nation, when he left office in January of 61, when he said, beware the military-industrial complex. And it's not that he was against the military or that he was against, but he had seen personally what had happened when these things were had gotten out of control and were, quite frankly, extremely dangerous. And he himself, we have witnesses who worked with Eisenhower, for example, who said that he personally knew about ultra-secret projects related to what the public would call UFOs and advanced energy and propulsion, where he had been just flat-out lied to. And so, unfortunately, this is what happens when you know, you get this a situation where a large vested financial and corporate interests end up taking control rather than being for the public good. And it's corruption. So the compartmentalization is part of the problem, but what is worse is the illegal corruption that goes with it. And we have maintained, in fact, can prove through the testimony we have, if people go to our website, disclosureproject.org, and that's disclosureproject.org, we have an enormous amount of testimony from people who have been part of these projects and who have seen exactly how ruthless and illegal they have been operating for decades. What that means, of course, is that in the early 90s, when I briefed President Clinton's national security people as well as his first CIA director, I had a three-hour meeting with Clinton's first CIA director, Jim Woolsey, to discuss these problems. Those people had come and approached our group because they had been denied access. So people go, oh, come on, it's the president, it's the CIA director. What don't they have access to? And what I say to people is that depending on which president you're talking about and which CIA director, they don't have access to everything important because it has been corporatized, privatized, stolen, and it's the largest RICO in the world. So the secrecy around these things is a very, very complex issue, And we've written some exposés of this that are available in on our website as well as in these books that you mentioned.
Right. And I think that's why it's important that you started the corporation you did, and likewise I started this organization, CURE, because it opens up avenues for these people. And again, a lot of people get me, they take it the wrong way when I mention some of these things about our military and government agencies. There are wonderful people working at these places.
Oh, absolutely.
And, of course, I was one of them. And we love to know that there's avenues out there available to us that we can leave and feel like, okay, well, even if I'm not giving away everything here, if I step out of this situation, because many of us got to that point where you're faced with, you know, what you're contributing to is something that you don't agree with and that you would like to step out, but where do you step out to? So your corporation's offering that, which I think is wonderful.
Yes, and I would say anyone listening who is himself or herself or knows of someone that has a very clear understanding of these sorts of technologies that we are calling, quote-unquote, free energy, the ones that extract energy from the space around us and what have you, that they should contact us. Our corporate site is seaspower.com, S-E-A-S-power.com. And we are in the process of making a final listing of the things that we have identified that look like they are worth moving forward with so we can put together a coalition of people to begin to bring these technologies out to the public. The public needs to understand the nature of these technologies that have been kept illegally secret and where you've had people literally assassinated and or threatened with jail time for discussing are ones that would enable your house or your car to run from the energy that's in the fabric of space around you. It gets a little esoteric, but essentially you do not need to be burning anything in your car or have an electric line to a coal-fired power plant to have all the power that you need. And this is something which we have can be proven, and which, unfortunately, is the basis for an entirely new civilization on this planet that would be sustainable and non-polluting. But we have enormous vested interest trying to stop this sort of project. But if there are people who have knowledge of this, we would love to see them come forward and help us move their technology forward. We have a testing program for these sort of technologies, and it's very high-profile people who have credentials and who are open-minded who can verify the legitimacy of these sort of technologies. And so for the last 3 or 4 years, we've been really focusing on identifying those sorts of technologies.
Right. And unfortunately, we're coming up on that first break, so welcome back to the Conscious Living Show. My guest today is Dr. Stephen Greer, who's CEO of Space Energy Access Systems, or otherwise known as SEAS. We're not taking callers today, but you can certainly write in your questions to me at consciouslivingshow@yahoo.com, or I encourage you to go visit their website, which is seaspower.com, S-E-A-S-power.com, all one word there. And before the break, you were starting to explain about SEAS and how you go about identifying and testing these technologies. Could you describe some of the promising technologies that have come to your attention?
Well, there are several that have, for example, one category is what we call transitional technologies, and this would be technologies that, for example, a system that we've found that creates hydrogen for internal combustion engine conversion that is completely non-polluting and doesn't use the cracking of hydrogen off of oil very energy-intensive electrolysis. And this particular inventor is wanting to move forward with a demonstration system, and he has invented also an injector that would convert your car to run on hydrogen, and the system elaborates or frees up hydrogen from any kind of water, polluted water, what have you, through a type of exothermic process. At any rate, that's one example of something that could get us completely off of oil using the existing engines that we're using and without creating pollution. It's a very significant advance. Interestingly, the people in the government have threatened him already, saying, oh, you can't do this because the hydrogen that would be created this way could be used for a terrorist weapon. I mean, it's completely crazy stuff. I mean, as if these big tankers full of gasoline and natural gas can't be blown up. I mean, you know, it's just it's silly. And on the other end of the spectrum, there's a man who has a proof-of-principle system that's what we call an electrogravitic system, which is a high-voltage system that causes a mass cancellation effect so that an object becomes weightless or appears to levitate, much like people have seen a so-called UFO do. By the way, I don't like the term UFO. There are two types of objects that are seen. One are extraterrestrial vehicles, and that's what they're called, ETVs in the trade, and the other are ARVs, which are alien reproduction vehicles, which are things made by Lockheed Skunk Works and Northrop that look like a UFO, but they're man-made, and they're using this sort of advanced high-voltage free energy type of mass cancellation technology. But this inventor is not part of a covert program. He has come across this from his own research. And we're convinced it's something which could be brought forward to create enormous amounts of clean and free energy, as well as be used in propulsion systems and transportation systems. There's a whole array of technologies that have fallen into what I call the category of ones that have existed and have then disappeared. And we're in the process of trying to identify those and say which of these have enough information about around them that we could reconstitute that system. I don't want to go into specifics, but for example, there are a number of rotary systems similar to things that Tesla had apparently experimented with, better part of 100 years ago, that have been developed by other scientists that over the years have either been suppressed or have been confiscated, but which we're reconstituting the information on, so we could refabricate these systems. What's really needed is a serious R&D effort. Now, what SEAS, of course, does not have, huge amounts of funds to do this. And I find it a shame that, we have a $2,000 million, a $2 billion fund to figure out how to clean up coal when there's no money available to go into this kind of research. What you see is that they try to starve, and the system right now has been starving. And so the public that's listening needs to say, look, we need to identify the funders, the financial support, and others to sort of really put their money where their mouth is and say, we know these things. We can prove these technologies exist. We can prove they have existed. Let's put a team of people together to reconstitute them, fabricate them, and then bring them out to the public. What I'm designed to do, and my group is designed to do, is to not be suppressed. Because, obviously with the level that we've been working at since the early 90s, we've had our share of threats and our share of cajoling and of attempts to try to get us off our path. And we refuse to give in. And as soon as we find something that is strong enough and robust enough to, say, run your home independently from being tied into the coal-fired power grid, people don't realize that 57% of our electricity is still coming from burning coal, this noxious, nasty stuff that's causing acid rain and global warming. And as soon as we have that, we will come forward with it, and we will do so irrespective of any threats or irrespective of any inducements to sell out. So we have created an umbrella group to keep this whole effort clean,
exactly,
as it were, and pure, literally and figuratively, so that it is not corruptible. But obviously, these technologies are very powerful. They're enormously powerful interests, because what people don't understand, it isn't about money the way you and I think of money. It's about geopolitical power. You're talking about technologies that would replace an $8 trillion part of the global economy that deals with gas, oil, coal, nuclear power, transportation, internal combustion engines. It's enormous. And so what you have is a power structure that's very top-heavy, 200 or 300 people who are involved in a policy group that actively keeps these sort of breakthroughs from the public by any means necessary, up to and including when I was involved with the at the level of presidential intelligence and CIA director, up to and including lying to and denying access to people at that level.
Right.
So this is something
again,
which is not only is illegal, but it's very dangerous. And I think we've, you know, that game has run its course, and the consequences of letting that game run further are going to be catastrophic for humanity. And we can see it. We've been warning of this for 15 years, and there are others before us who were warning. Eisenhower himself warned of the consequences of this sort of unchecked illegal secrecy. But
right.
It's what we've decided to do is say, look, the government is probably never going to fix this problem. We have to fix it. So that's why we started an R&D effort to do so. And, you know, anyone listening who has either the financial wherewithal or have technologies that they want to get in a very safe and quick pathway out to the public, they should get hold of us.
Exactly. And I like to describe to people what we're talking about here, because often people, you know, they look at something like this megastructure and they can't even imagine in their wildest imagination why it is that the people like you, me, and others that are interested in doing this can do this. We can come up with a solution. And one of the ways I like to describe free energy is, and I'm sure you're familiar with Dr. Hal Fox I had on the program in May,
uh-huh.
that if you build a box, that we just purchase a box that contains this, you know, energy, it's like buying a radio. We pay for the unit of the radio itself, but we don't pay to change the channel. We don't pay a monthly service fee, and that is what we'd like to get to at a consumer level and also at our industry. So that all you're paying for is all the structure that goes into designing, developing, and implementing that box. And so once people get that, they're like, oh, my God, why isn't it like that? You know, and it's the same thing with our cell phones. We're watching every day that, you know, why are minutes free on the weekend but not during the week?
Well, that's exactly.
It's just a signal. So once you get it, that's all just based on greed, that we can change that. And that's how it's going to be done, is by people. It's not going to be done at the corporate level. It's not going to be done by our governments. And
oh, I know. It isn't.
Right, exactly. And the other thing that I think that's lately with Hurricane, the relief efforts are coming first from people. And when we see that, when we gather in the groups that we can, and we're coming from our heart like this is happening, that we see what we're capable of doing together. So, again, you know, I have to give you credit for opening up an avenue for people which is credible, respected, and people can feel comfortable to come forward, whether they want to invest or whether they want to actually come forward with a technology, which leads me to a question. What do? They go to your website. Is there a questionnaire? Is there a certain technology criteria, a set of requirements that they have to meet?
Yes,
will even
on the CSE's website, CSEpower.com, there is a technology evaluation form that is an intake form for us to sort of see if it meets the criteria of what we're looking for. And, of course, for many people, the first thing that they don't want to do is have it vetted and tested properly. And this is why most of these technologies never see the light of day. You know, we have got to grow up with this whole new energy effort into understanding the need for reproducibility, scientific reproducibility, and the ability to have independent, honest, and I'm not talking about crooked university people or laboratory people, but honest people evaluate the efficacy and claims of the inventor of the device. What you find is that many people don't want to do that. They want you to just take your word for it. I said, but that isn't how it works. And then they want to be secretive. And I say, well, if you're wanting to get this out to 6 billion people, you can't keep it a secret.
Right.
So, I mean, it's ridiculous. It's circular thinking. So what we're trying to do is explain to people, look, we're an entity as an organization and as a network of people that involves thousands of people, millions of followers around the world who follow our work, and really good access to the friendly people in the government and the friendly people in the Congress and in other governments that can be the lead group to move something like this out. But it has to go through a certain amount of reproducibility, testing, and proof, and probably further R&D. Very few of these things that we've identified are ready to, you know, start cranking out like widgets on a manufacturing.
Right.
None of them are. They all need further R&D. And so what we're doing right now, quite frankly, are identifying at least not a final list, but a comprehensive list of the research that we've done for the last 3 or 4 years of the absolute best systems that we could go forward with further R&D to be deployed or to be actually sent out to the public as a solution to fossil fuels. And we're doing this in a very methodical and scientific way. And we have excellent scientists, by the way, who are highly credible people at mainstream institutions who have studied this issue and know that it's possible. In other words, they're not there to debunk it or to tear it down. So we have actively put together the largest network in the world of people who can support such an effort and bring it forward. And the first step is for people to actually approach us and say, look, this is what I have and this is what it can do, and we're willing to go through this process of cooperative development and cooperative testing.
Unfortunately, I'm going to have to interrupt. We're right on top of a break, and please come back and join us for more. Welcome back to the Conscious Living Show. With me today is an extraordinary man who's dedicated his life to bringing to light and to life new and free energies, Dr. Stephen Greer, CEO of SEES. And before the break, you really just touched on a subject about creating this list of available technologies and those that SEES is interested in looking at and validating, which means you're playing a huge educational role here. So I'd like you to talk about some of the things that you really want the audience to understand of the different levels of education that we're talking about.
Well, I think the first level is that a message of hope. Most people don't realize that there are extant on Earth today technologies which can completely transform the fortunes of the human race and the direction we're going in now to one that's sustainable and without pollution and without the kind of poverty we see all over the world. And that is these sorts of technologies. However, getting that kind of a change to happen requires a lot of people to know about it and be ready to support it. For example, you cannot do this sort of thing secretively. I have met with many scientists who want to have a sort of secret operation on their own, thinking they're going to outfox the masters of darkness, the masters of secrecy. I'm going, you're not going to do it. But what you can do, this is what we've done with the Disclosure Project. If people get it, disclosureproject.org, you'll see we've done this very successfully, is to get people who know this information and get their testimony and the information, and in the case of these technologies, the actual machines, out to the public. The public want a solution. 99.999% of the human race would like to see these sort of energy solution and environmental solutions actually brought forward. So they're your natural constituency. They're your natural supporters. And it's very important that people be educated about the fact that not only is this possible, but that it's going to require, because of the corrupting influence of a lot of money and a lot of powerful institutions, including in government and in the corporate world and financial world, who don't want to see this happen, to have the masses of the public aware of it and ready to support it and then demand it. For example, a lot of people have asked the question, well, can something like this be patented? I said, sure, but you would issue the patent the day that you're on Larry King Live and Ted Koppel and 20 other major network and talk shows talking about the fact that you have the machine, it's operational, and you have half a dozen independent laboratories and universities that have reproduced and improved it. So it could not be suppressed. So that then Section 181 of the patent law, which allows for a seizure of technologies, would not be able to be used, because if they tried to use it, the masses would absolutely raise bloody hell. And
right.
See, and so the public, and this is where I'm very egalitarian. I think people have got to understand that the situation we're in isn't going to be fixed by one heroic figure or one inventor. All of us are going to have to be aware of it and be willing to put our shoulder to the wheel and move this whole effort forward, because we're really talking about something that dwarfs the Marshall Plan. It's a transformation of the entire infrastructure of how humanity is living on Earth.
Mm-hmm.
And that's an enormous undertaking. And so people have to understand that that's going to require many people from diverse walks of life, as well as just the masses being aware of it, and not allowing something that does come along that's promising to be suppressed again or to be bought out and put on a black shelf at General Motors or Westinghouse or General Electric or SAIC or Lockheed or Northrop or any of the other corporations that have done so in the past. So I'm just giving you a list of a few. Now, I think this is why it's critically important for people to understand the role of public education, but also how that plays a role in security. Security around an operation like what we've had with the Disclosure Project, where we've had hundreds of top secret witnesses come forward from the most highly controlled secret projects in the history of the United States or Western Europe or what have you. None of them have been threatened and none of them have been injured. Why? Because we did it en masse, we did it massively in the public, and we had millions of people who knew about it. The same thing has to happen with these energy solutions. You cannot do this in the darkness of night because the folks that want to keep this secret own darkness. What they don't own is light. They don't own the truth. They don't own the ability. And if you can get the information out to the people through whatever means you need to, the internet, radio shows, talk shows, I mean, I've been on every network in the world, then what happens is that it becomes very difficult to snuff out either the leadership of that effort or the inventor or the truth of the matter. Now, the media is very corrupt, and I will be the first to say that the big media is majorly corrupt. But ultimately, they're not going to be able to stay on that path of corruption once there's enough people who know about it. It will simply take off. So public education and public networking. So many people who've come to learn about what we're doing, it's been through word of mouth. It's been through radio shows like this, and someone hears and says, my God, get on this website. I can't believe this stuff is actually out there. Most people who look at what we've already assembled with the Disclosure Project can't believe it is already in the public domain.
Right.
It is so much information. I mean, we're not talking about one or two people with a fuzzy a ball on their face behind a black screen with their voice altered. We're talking dozens and dozens of top secret people ranging from brigadier generals and colonels and astronauts, name, rank, and serial number testifying about the existence of this stuff.
Right.
So, you know, that's out there. But people have to learn that it's out there and then tell their friends and families and coworkers and institutions that it's out there. So this is the power, of course, of the information age if we use it. And this is why education is so important.
Well, the other element here about the education is that we have some other things that seemingly in the media seem to carry some hope. And I think a lot of people kind of turn a blind eye once they hear this, that, you know, like the energy bill or what Toyota's doing or some of the other car manufacturers. And that, to me, is not the solution because all they're doing is swapping one system for another, and they intend on carrying out the same greed perspective way.
Yes. And there is this whole thing of temporizing it. It's
right.
It's like this terrible expression, look busy, Jesus is coming. You know, they're trying to look busy and so that people will think that there's people working on a solution when they know damn good and well they're not.
Right.
And this is the fraud that's going on in the whole, for example, global warming. People don't realize there's $5 billion a year being spent worldwide on studying global warming. Well, with a rounding error, percentage rounding error of that, our group could come out with a solution to global warming. So, you know, this kind of madness has got to be exposed for what it is. You know, I have left my work as an emergency and trauma physician and given up my income, and I'm doing this for free, quite frankly, to try to get this resolved because I tell people now my patient is Gaia, Earth, and her 6 billion children, that we have got to view this as a time where it's a critical emergency for the world to find these solutions. And if we look to Big Brother and these big corporations to do it, we're going to find that it's going to be a day late and a dollar short. They really don't want the solutions to come out, except under their own control on their own time schedule, where they have milked every $1 trillion segment that they can out of the global economy into their power system.
Right.
It's an enormously corrupt and cynical program. And I know people because sometimes are horrified because I'm very blunt. I'm an emergency doctor. If you come into the ER and you've got a brain tumor, I'm not going to tell you you've got a migraine. So it's just the way I am. But the truth of the matter is that our civilization is headed into a terminal sequence of catastrophe
right.
if we don't fix these fundamental problems. The good news is that we can fix them.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to need a lot more support than is out there right now. For example, you know, I'm always laughing at people. You know, I hear about some of these environmental trusts that have $600 million a year budgets like the Nature Conservancy and some of these things. And I'm thinking, you know, for a tiny fraction of that, we could develop and have fully operational within 2 years technologies that would fix the entire environmental problem.
Exactly.
But you cannot get through. Why aren't those people doing that? I think there's stupidity and corruption at every level, but as you said earlier, more importantly, a lack of knowledge and education. We've got to get the facts and the education to the right people so that the level of support that's there. Dr. Brian O'Leary, who is an Apollo astronaut, and I met this spring about this, and he said, look, we really need between $50 and $100 million, which would be a small R&D effort in industry, by the way, or in government. When you're talking about $2 billion, just figuring out how to clean up 10% more of the pollution from coal.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but a relatively small amount of funding would enable this effort to get professionalized to the point that I am certain within a couple of years there would be definitive solutions and replacements for all the fossil fuel and nuclear power problems that we're facing. Why isn't that happening? It's an interesting question. We have to ask the question, why isn't it happening? And then we have to say, let's put together an effort to change this direction. You know, the Chinese have a wonderful saying, unless we change directions, we're likely to end up where we're going.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Okay, and no one's saying, well, where are we going? Well, we're going to head into more Katrinas, more infrastructure collapse, more global terrorism because we're decamped in the Middle East where we're not wanted, trying to protect our oil interests, more environmental disasters in the way of global warming, and greater disparity between the wealthy and poor countries, which breeds unrest and war and terrorism. We're not going to fix these problems from the level of consciousness that's created. We need a whole new way of thinking, a whole new technology.
Right. And unfortunately, we're at another break, but please come back and join us for more about what you can do to make this happen. So we'll be right back. Welcome back to the Conscious Living Show. With me today is someone to truly admire and have as a role model, a man that has had a prestigious medical career as an emergency room physician and is now dedicating his life to bringing the world much overdue new and free energy. And this man is Dr. Stephen Greer. And unfortunately, we're not taking callers today. This is the last part of the segment of the show, but you can go to their website at seaspower, that's seaspower.com, or you can also send questions to me at consciouslivingshow@yahoo.com. Before the break, again, we were really, you know, getting down to brass tacks here as far as is what needs to happen now. What's the most pressing thing on your plate? What's the first application you would like to see that these technologies do?
I think the most pressing thing on our plate right now is that we are in the final stages of identifying that the top half a dozen or so of these technologies that can be moved forward, and then identifying clean sources of funding to get them to the stage of full beta-tested, manufacturable-ready prototypes ready to bring out to the public. And this is no easy thing. You know, the venture capital world, generally they want to take control of the interest, and then they'll be bought out and suppressed. It's very, very difficult. And so the biggest challenge on all this, and I think if you talk to Dr. O'Leary, if you talk to a lot of the people who have been involved with this effort, this area for 10, 20, 30 years, or to Dr. Bearden, Tom Bearden, who's written a 1,000-page book, a seminal work called The Energy from the Vacuum, that's a sort of theoretical physics book and a historical overview, that the big problem has been adequate and proper professionalization and funding of this effort so that it isn't just a bunch of guys working out of their garages or in their basements on weekends. Ultimately, to get an entirely new technology and industry established that will replace the power grid, the engine that's in the boot of your car, you're going to have to get a serious level of support. That's where we are right now. That's our big challenge. But you have to do it in a way that's clean, because if it isn't clean, it's going to disappear into the black hole of whatever big money interest ends up taking control of it. So it's a strategic challenge to figure out how to do that and to do it safely.
Right. And one of the ways that in the audience is that has listened to the show before and knows that our organization was set up as a nonprofit 501c3 to facilitate that initial research, to further the research along to get to a product level or a development stage, then to be passed off to that same company that could do the research so you could, as an investor, receive a tax write-off, then be passed off to – is SEAS, by the way, is it a privately held company or is it publicly traded?
No, it has a small group of sort of benefactor investors that support it. Now, the Disclosure Project is a 501c3 nonprofit.
Okay.
But SEAS is a regular corporate entity because we felt that would be the vehicle that could most quickly move something forward to
right.
the public.
And, a lot of people ask me, well, why do you want to, you know, bring somebody, because in their perception is this is competition. I'm like, no, there's no competition. The more the merrier here. We need to move this forward in different capacities and different people all over the world. And however that's done, whether it's through curriculum in university-level material, whether it's through the actual research and development. And what I like about you is that, you know, here you are. And in my case, I actually come from the R&D world in aerospace. And so I have, because a lot of people ask me that question, how is it that you can, you know, manage an organization like this? Well, that's what I used to do. I was a senior analyst for the government, and we analyzed, 500 million plus proposals, and so that's my background. But here you are, and it's a wonderful example that to run an organization like this, you have a medical professional background. It doesn't mean that that's what the CEO has to do. You don't have to know everything about, development and implementation. But at the same time, having said that, it's very apparent that you have drawn to you a wonderful mix of people that can hold up with that credibility and attract these investors that you need. I really you have to admire you for doing that. That's wonderful.
Well, we're trying little by little. You know, I tell people I'm just a country doctor here in Virginia.
I know you always say that, and everybody laughs.
It's true. But ultimately, I've had to rely on people who really do understand and know, other areas of whether it's political or national security or what have you, because that's just not my bailiwick. I'm more the strategic leader and thinker behind this, and I'm not even the technical guy. I mean, if the VCR has to be set up, my wife does it. you have to know your strengths and your limitations, and that's one of the things that in my team I emphasize with people all the time. You've got to be real, and you've got to keep it real. And otherwise, you don't get anything done. That's sort of how our orientation is.
Right.
But we do welcome people, helping to support us in any way they can, whether it's with leads to these technologies or people who are experienced in the business world who can help us as we move along this pathway, or people who are in the financial world, what have you. I mean, we're very open to that. The requirement is that people are doing this for, quite frankly, very altruistic reasons. I don't think this is going to happen through people trying to do this with the normal consciousness of greed and stupidity that's gotten us in the current situation. And so even though SEAS is a regular company in the way it's structured, our orientation is very much towards turning the world around in a positive direction and to really get something enormously important accomplished.
Right. Now, your latest book, does it highlight not only about the Disclosure Project, but moves into what SEAS is attempting to accomplish?
No, the latest book is really dealing more with the – has about 100 people – I think it's 70 witnesses who were the initial witnesses that we edited their testimony and deposition transcripts into this book, as well as all the government documents that talk about – these secret projects and talk about the secret UFO operations and reverse engineering operations and events that have happened. However, what we do have on our SEAS website is a very extensive number of articles and information. It's virtually like a book that's up there. People want to read it. The book I'm working on right now, to be honest with you, is an autobiography, because most people want to know, how did you go from the ER to being involved with briefing CIA directors and people like this on this stuff. I mean, and it's an interesting story, and it's going to be just a way of giving people an idea of what the truth is related to the subject. Because our whole purpose is, as I said earlier, it's not only to bring out the technologies, but the consciousness behind it. Mm-hmm. You know, how do we need to evolve as a civilization in our thinking in order to be a sustainable and a positive culture in the universe. And this is something that the book I'm working on right now will be very focused on.
Well, that sounds wonderful. And again, I just want to thank you for being on the show. Unfortunately, we're down to 2 minutes. And I just think what you're doing is of course, fantastic. It fits right into the same concept that we have at CURE. And what you've drawn to you, it is a successful combination of people and goals and processes to bring about these needed changes. So thank you, Dr. Greer, for being on the show today. I appreciate it.
Thank you. I appreciate your help and support.
Oh, no problem. And again, if anybody is interested, we welcome Cure funding, and you can earmark it to C's. And again, I've checked that with an attorney and accountant, and that's the way our mission is. We deliberately kept it as broad as we could to help efforts such as this. So I encourage you to do that. Our website is earthcure.org. You can also, if you don't feel like you have a lot of money to give, our membership is only $35 a year, so check out our website for that. And please come back next week. We have some more interesting guests. In my trip to Europe, I met with these individuals. Founder of Space Life Institute, Omri Sorley, and the director, David Fiscaletti. And they're going to be discussing their discoveries on consciousness and human evolution. So please join me for that. Until then, this is the Conscious Living Show. I'm Simone Myers, and this is VoiceAmerica.com.